This is Joe Eustace. I am out at Waldorf visiting with Terrence Holmes, a young fellow that I've known for quite a few years but haven't been able to visit with. At this time, I'm going to ask Terrence some questions for the sake of the Historical Society and for posterity. So, Terrence, how old are you today?
Well, I was born in 89.
You were born in 1889.
I'm 88 years old.
Well, you certainly are in good condition for a man of those years. Let me ask you, where were you born, Terrence?
About 3 miles north of here.
North of Waldorf.
Yeah.
3 miles north. And your parents' names were?
John and Mary Holmes.
John and Mary Holmes. What was your mother's maiden name?
Conway.
Conway. They were related to the Conway.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's the trouble with Waseca County. You don't dare talk about anybody that might be your relative.
Yeah, right? Well, you see, Dick Conway, there was two of them in Waseca County. One of them lived over near Janesville, and the other one lived down here in St. Mary's. And the one in St. Mary's was my mother's brother, and he was married to Mary Barden.
Oh, yeah.
And that'd be old Tom Barden's daughter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one lived over near Janesville. I don't know who he was married to, but they were cousins.
I see. Now, where, what did you do most of your life?
Farm.
And when were you married and to whom?
I was married in 1914, the 29th of September, to Catherine Sullivan from Danville, 7 miles west of here.
Katie Sullivan.
Yeah. O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan. Well, that sounds good. And how large a family did you have then, Terrence?
Three children.
And they are?
Jean and Elaine and Mary Allen.
And Jean, of course, lives here.
Yeah, he lives right over here.
Tell me about, you started farming.
Elaine passed away in 42, and Mary Allen lives in California.
Oh, yeah.
She's been out there for about 18 years.
And you started farming when?
Well, Dad died in 1913, and I was second man in the elevator here for 2 years. And Mother said I had to go home, and I was the oldest, and take the lines. So I've been at it ever since.
Since 1913?
Yeah.
Who ran the elevator here in Waldorf in those days?
Tom Foley, or Tom Maney.
Tom Maney.
Yeah.
Was he related to the Maney Mills, the Maney?
No, he was. He came from down here near Austin.
I see. I know the
Maney. He worked. He ran the elevator in Mattawan, and he ran it here, and then he went to St. Clair and died up there.
Tell me about the early days, about the prices you got for your livestock and your produce and such. Do you remember back?
Yes, I know my dad won winter hauled wheat to Janesville for 60 cents a bushel.
My goodness.
From here, get up and start out in the dark and come home in the dark.
You didn't have an elevator here then, or didn't?
No, we didn't get the elevator until the way in 1907 when the railroad came in.
I see.
Then, and the livestock, I know in 1906 Dad was in Rochester, and we had some, well, the cattle, you know, you didn't feed them then. They run to a haystack down in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You let them out, open the gate and let them out in the morning, and they went down there in that hay all day. And then they put them in the barn at night. And a two-year-old would be about as big as a good wean calf.
Yeah.
Now, they wouldn't be too big. And I know Dad rode home, of course. He had to have, them days you had to have a little money too.
Oh, sure.
And he told me if anybody come along to sell them the steers. And I sold them for 3 cents a pound and drove them to Janesville.
Oh, my God.
There was about, there was all the neighbors here. Put them out in the snow here in the track and put us kids along so they wouldn't drive, get off on the road, you know, and get into somebody's yard. And they all took a load of wheat along and we all went to Janesville.
That took a long time.
Oh, it took a whole day.
Yeah, Janesville is what, about 15 miles from here?
Well, we call it about 12.
12 miles.
You see, it's just over the Alton Town line.
Oh,
and the Freedom Town line is here, so it's 6 miles across, but there was a couple of half a mile jogs in it.
Oh, sure.
So it is around 13 miles.
Well, you were there were no Indians left here when you were young. That was all things.
No, the only thing I know about the Indians that I heard Uncle Dick Conway tell about the time that they were coming, you know, from New Elm here, and they stopped them there before they got to Mankato. And, of course, my grandfather, they said, had the first span of horses in this county. And he loaded all the women and the small babies on a hay rack and went to Faribault. But they stopped the Indians over here before they got to Mankato. And somebody went on a horse and they
brought them back. By golly.
And I know Uncle Dick told me different times that he laid in the ditch alongside the road down there in St. Mary's, and they all had their old muskets, you know.
Waiting for them. Did you didn't go to church in St. Mary's, though, did you?
Not normally.
Where were you married, in Waldorf Church?
No, we're married in Mapleton.
Mapleton Church.
Yeah, my wife belonged to the Mapleton parish.
Oh, I see. The reason I asked you, we the Historical Society now, we inherited St. Mary's Church, and we're in somewhat of a quandary what to do with it, because there's nothing left there, and it cost us $60,000, and then what do we have? So I thought maybe you were born or baptized there or married.
I was baptized there. Father Trainer baptized
Father
me.
Father Trainer.
He was here one summer between the time that Father McCabe left and went to Mapleton.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, he was over there for a while, and then he came back. And Father Herman was here in that spell, I guess.
Well, Waldorf back in your day was quite a thriving town, wasn't it? A business town, as I remember.
Oh, yes, but when we came here, I had a brother and uncle drowned down here in the creek, and it's in Child's History there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holmeses, my dad came here in about 76 in a covered wagon from Wisconsin. And he farmed a few years over around Janesville, and then his wife passed away, and he had three children. And then the children, you know, went back to Wisconsin and stayed with the grandparents, and they came out here in 1880, and they bought this. Well, I own part of it now, but the old place is the next place down here.
Now, where does Gene live?
He lives right here, right in here. Yeah, but we own part of the old place that their grandparents bought.
That they originally settled.
Yeah, they bought it from...
Oh, they bought it. There wasn't a grant.
No, they bought it from Dave Ackerman. He was the brother-in-law to Sam Hodgkin up here.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember what they paid for acres in those days?
Around $400 or $500 for a quarter section.
For a quarter section. Well, of course, there was a lot of clearing to do.
It was all bullgrass, you know, and they had to break it and cut down the trees.
I never heard the expression bullgrass before, but that's good.
Well, that's that big stuff to
sure,
grow.
Sure. Well, your memories of Waldorf... during the early days, was there saloons and a rip-roaring town like most of these small? I heard a lot of stories about Janesville from my dad.
Yeah. Well, when we came here, there was just three families up there. We moved out here from Wauseka. See, after my uncle and my brother got drowned down here, Dad got disgusted. He had remarried then, Mary Conway, you know, and he went to Wauseka, and he went working in Wauseka at the carpenter trade. He had learned that when he was a young man in Wisconsin, and we stayed there 8 years. Frank and I was both born up here, and went by the name, they sold it after that. Mm-hmm. And they sold Uncle Jim, the one that was drowned, he owned 80 acres up here on the north side of the Ford farm. Mm-hmm. And we own it today.
Now that Ford, was that relative to my Aunt Winnie Ford?
Sure, her dad.
Oh, her father.
Yeah.
I've heard that name.
Pat Ford and Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
And she was a sister to Rob Crystal.
Oh.
Her and Rob Crystal that lived out there. Rob Crystal's place is where Joe Keeley died on here last week.
Oh, I see. Well, I know the Ford name.
Yeah.
Well, when you bought, then did you take the farm over from your parents?
Huh?
Did you?
Yeah.
You took the farm from... Now, in other words, you didn't... what I'm interested in is what you had to pay for it in your day, you know.
Well, it was just handed down, you know.
It was handed down. Well, yeah.
I thought maybe, like some parents, they
will sell a shirt.
No, well, it was handed down to my two brothers and myself.
Fine. In those days, you didn't have to pay that awful inheritance tax.
No, there was no such thing.
No.
So all you do is keep the taxes paid.
Well, sure.
And so they wouldn't chase you off.
Let me ask you, what did you grow mostly in your early days of farming?
It was mostly all wheat.
All wheat?
Yeah, they'd raise all the way from 1,500 to 2,000 bushel of wheat on a quarter section.
Do you remember what your yields per acre were in those days?
Oh, I suppose 20 or 20, 35 bushel.
You know what they are now,
right? Why, it'd grow as high as the grain horse. Yeah. It was way up here, you know.
You know what the yields are today, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, 55, 60.
Well, Gene had wheat here last year, 2 years ago, that made 80 bushel
to acre. Yeah,
that new wheat, you know, grows up about this high.
Yeah, that's era.
Yeah.
That's a short, that's a semi-dwarf. Yeah, quite a difference. Well, the same with corn, I suppose. Soybeans, of course, weren't known in your day.
And corn, they just raised, they maybe had one or two sows. They never had over four or five hogs to sell. They just had a sow, and they raised the pigs up and butchered them and had their own meat.
Yeah. Let me ask you, though, horses. Did you grow some oats for your horses or corn?
We had about 10 acres of oats, and we'd maybe have 10 acres of corn. And them old fellas wouldn't feed the corn to the horses in the summertime, you know, it made them sweat too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd feed them oats in the summertime and corn in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I can remember that. If you catch it in the devil if you give a horse any corn in the summertime.
Some of those old timers knew more than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
You betcha. Well, can you think of any other interesting aspects during your early days?
Well, I started to plow with a walking plow.
Oh boy. One horse or two?
Two horses.
And how did you seed then?
We had a little cedar, and it had a foot down here and a spout running out, and that fell on that plate and spread. And there was four or five teeth that dug up the dirt a little bit. And it wasn't... I think them first ones wasn't, them first cedars, the first one I think Dad had wasn't over 6 feet wide.
Prior to that, they used to plant corn with a single deal that they...
Yeah, we had three of them.
By
the first year we were here in 1901, there wasn't only one corn planter, you know, around the country.
Sure.
And Dad, he made a sled, you know, with runners on it, so far apart, and then with a pole in it, and put a team on it, and he drove this way, and then he went crossways, and then they walked them rows with that thing, and he had 12 acres of corn over there on the corner of the farm, and that's the way it was planted.
That must have taken a lot.
Oh, God, that was.
We had some of those down at the museum, you know.
Yeah. We had three of them, and I don't know where they went. The time Leo had the auction sale, they were put up for sale, and they went.
Oh, dear.
Fellas should have saved one of them.
Yeah, well, we got a couple at the... Yesterday, I was over at Janesville interviewing... He lives 504 4th Street. I forget his name at the moment, but he has more old stuff he's going to give the museum.
Yeah.
I never saw so much stuff. He's saved over the years, and he has it all identified.
Well, you know, Joe, I've looked. I went even out to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and here in Waseca, and different places where you see them with that old stuff in it. And you know what I'm looking for?
No.
When we were a kid, when they came here from Wisconsin, they had a bog shoe, they called it. And it was a flat piece of wood, you know, about this size.
Yeah.
And it had two irons on it, and it was a clamp that went around the front feet. And they just buckled it on. And, you know, they could go out and mow this wet land. A horse, if he goes down in front, he lays down. But that they put him on the front feet. And they could go right along in water with him.
I'm not so sure we don't have some of them over at
our... I've looked every place I went. We had a set down here, and I don't know, when we tore down the old barn, I suppose they fell down, the dirt was right. Covered up. And
or somebody threw them away.
Well, they just rusted away.
Let me ask you this. If sometime this summer, if you come over and call me, I'll take you out there to the Hudson Museum.
Yeah, I've been out there.
But I think I can find some of them.
You can?
I think I've seen them either downtown museum or out there. But so
yeah, the bog shoes they call.
Yeah,
and nobody knows a darn thing about them.
Of course, you know they claim the Irish are bog trotters too. Yeah. So maybe they're answering. Where did your grandparents? What part of Ireland?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe. To be honest with you, I don't know.
I see.
As a kid, it went in one ear and out the other.
Course.
You didn't write it down. That's what I'm blaming myself
for. Yeah, you weren't interested in that.
But I know my grandfather and Father McCabe must came from the same place because they were like two brothers.
Well, McCabe, with names like that, it's very easy. You know, for instance, Eugene could write. Now, I have our family crest. You
yeah.
have a crest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got one from Ireland, but your
yeah.
your name, that's an old... And it's very easy to get the history if you know the name, because most of them stayed. Now, I have a map of Ireland, and one with the names, the various names, which shows ours down where my granddad come from. And I'll look and see if I see the homes. That's about the best way to get it. Then you go over.
Well, they tell me that our name had a Mac on it in Ireland.
Macomb.
Yeah.
Well.
And when my grandfather left Ireland, he went to England to work on the railroad. And the timekeeper thought that Mac made it too long, and he dropped it. And my grandfather came to this country.
Mac or Mick?
I suppose. Mick.
M-C, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wouldn't want the Mac.
It had to be Mick. Well, it was Mick. McDonough.
Yeah, McDonough, Mick Holmes.
Yeah, Mick.
Mick Garrity, Mick Hulukuddy.
Yeah.
Well, we did a lot of research when we were there. I know Helen Gallagher, that's George
yeah.
Gallagher, Helen Fowler, and
yeah.
her, she wanted theirs, and I looked theirs up. There's, they have better data in Ireland and England on our ancestors than they do in the United States.
Well, they tell me that if you got any lead at all, you can go to one of them parishes over
correct.
There, and they'll put you on the trail in a hurry.
That's correct. All of our family have been over there, my sisters and all, and of course I was the first one to go over and look this up. And in Dublin, of course, they had, right in Dublin, they have a registrar, which is probably that thick with the various Irish names.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, if you have any idea, you can go out, like you say, to the church parish, or to the parish, and they have records pretty
yeah.
complete there.
I know Alice Hickey. She was born and raised up here, and she didn't know what her grandfather's first name was, or his grandmother's. And you know this Mike O'Brien that's buried in St. Mary's, he was buried there in 58.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first grave in St. Mary's, and he was Grandma Hickey's brother.
Right.
And he came here as a young man from Ireland, and he worked there at the Jimmy Norton place, right below the St. Mary
mm-hmm,
Church.
Yeah.
And a storm came up, and he went under a tree, and the lightning struck the tree and killed him. and he was the first grave in St. Mary's. Well, Alice wanted to go last summer. She was going in June, her and some woman from Canada. And she wrote to me and wanted to know if I could find out and get her something to go on. Well, I went down to St. Mary's, and there was that old stone. It's a white stone about that thick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there side of our lot in St. Mary's and in the Hickey lot. And, of course, mm-hmm. that would be Grandma Hickey's brother, sure. her own brother. And the cows had broke the stone off. And when I repaired our graves down there after my wife passed away, I done put up monuments mm-hmm. and fixed them all up, cemented them all in and everything. And I seen this was all full of moss. So I went down there one day with I had a bottle of gasoline and a wire brush and some of that sandpaper, you know, mm-hmm. and a
steel wool
yeah. and a delible pencil. Well, I worked on that, and it says Michael O'Brien, born in County Limerick, Ireland, and then it says right under that, it said that this stone erected by his wife Johanna, and then there's a name there. It's about 12 letters long, and I worked and worked on that, and the only thing I was sure of was a D. Well, I've got one of them maps of Ireland, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I went all over County Limerick, Ireland, there looking for these names of D. There's about 12 letters in that name. And now as I go down there every once in a while, it's getting plainer. These rains is washing it out
yeah.
cleaner.
Yeah.
And I wrote that to Alice and told her that the D was all I could make out of it in places that you didn't know whether it was a U or double N or what it was. And so I wrote that all to her, and she said, when I get back, I'll either come and see you or write you a letter. Well, I haven't got either one of them, but I expect her along this summer.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, while she planned out, and she didn't know their grandparents' name. Her grandmother's name was Alice, and her grandfather's name was Bartholomew.
Oh, yes. Well, let's be... Have you had much illness in your lifetime?
Well, I've been anointed 3 times.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, you go to heaven for sure. Did you have heart condition?
No. I had typhoid pneumonia when we lived in Waseca, and old Doc Shortridge, they said, made 21 trips to the house. Well, then I was smashed up in a runaway in 1930, I went for about a year on crutches, and Doug Gallagher told the family the day he came out that he'd never walk again, and he's gone in hell, I
yeah.
can walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had a ruptured appendix operation and busted.
Yeah, they can be serious.
Yeah, so I had 3 close calls.
Yeah. Well, you're a tough Irishman.
Well, if you can't think of anything else...
Well, I thought maybe you wanted some of the history of Waldorf.
Oh, I'd like it.
Well, when we came here, there was just 3 families in Waldorf. Johnny Beam, he started a store over here in Danville where the creamery was,
mm-hmm.
and it was close to Minnesota Lake and Mapleton. And when they started the creamery here in 56, why, he got over here and he built his store right there in the corner where that little house.
You mean in 56, 1950?
Or 96.
96.
96.
Yeah.
96, not
yeah.
56, 96. Yeah. And they built the creamery here. Well, then A.J. Tangeman came in here, and he built a store on this side of it. Well, them two, and there was the Lieferman sisters, they had a kind of a dress shop across the street, and there was a bootlegger here from from Minnesota Lake, and he was getting all the young lads drunk here. So the old people went up there one day, and they gave him a half an hour to get out of town, and he went and never came back. And there was the blacksmith shop, Bill Ingle.
Oh, yeah.
And that house, it's up there the other side of the creamery, the west part of it, is the only building in Waldorf that was there in them days.
That still stands.
It still stands.
I'll be done.
And they moved the stores to up on, you see, when the railroad came in here, why Vivian and Freedom voted them a bonus, and they were supposed to get into Freedom here by the 1st of January 1907, and they were out here about a mile from town when the day came, and they lost this bonus here. And I guess it kind of made the railroad company kind of sore, because Sam Hodgkin wanted them, he donated the farm site for them, or the city for the town, if they'd call it Hodgkinville and put it on his land. And they wouldn't accept it, and they bought the Steinogle farm, and for $100 an acre, and old Fred Steinogle went out here about 3 miles and bought a farm for about $35, and hell, he was rich.
Sure. Steinogle, I know that name.
Yeah, Steinogle.
One of them was killed in a gravel pit.
Yeah, one of the boys.
Yeah, I remember that name. And, in fact, I knew him.
Yeah, and Spike lives out here, mm-hmm. And the other brother now lives in Wasika.
What prompted the growth of Waldorf after that first?
Well, there was two stores here, and then the creamery. And, of course, there was a creamery in almost every township in Wasika County. There was one here and one over at Danville. Of course, that one dried up. And then there was one at Elmy and one at Cream.
I've heard about Cream. Somebody wrote a history of town of Cream. We have it at the museum. Did they name that because people haul cream there or something?
Well, there was, that's on, when you go, take 83 now and go up, you know that pie-shaped place where that new house is?
Yeah.
That was the old town of Cream. The hall was there, and the creamery was there, and there was a store there.
You don't suppose, by chance, anybody in this area would have a picture of that?
Cream?
Yeah.
Well, maybe some of them Rollinses.
Rollinses?
Yeah. Them Rollinses, they were early settlers over there. You want a pencil, grab one.
No, I've got a pencil I was looking for, but I'll remember that, Rollinses. I'll try and chase that down. Well,
I don't know who else over there. There ain't anybody else that, that was old-timers.
No.
That it was old men, as I remember them when I was a kid.
You know, there's probably some pictures laying around in the drawers that nobody thinks of value.
Yeah.
But we've heard of this cream so often. I know my dad was butter maker at Elma City.
Yeah.
I heard him say that.
Yeah, I remember that because I used to herd cows and help, Winnie lived right down the hill from us.
Sure.
I knew her when they were married, I guess, about in 1904.
Winnie and Chris. He was a tall,
slim fellow. Yeah.
He's
all the Eustaces was tall. Jack was the cop over in Janesville.
Yeah.
He was tall. Jim was the only one.
My dad was a little shorter than I am.
Yeah, Jim was heavy set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And George got that way.
And George wasn't as big, but Chris and Jack, and what was that other fellow's name?
They
lived out there around Lake Legion.
There was George, and my dad was Bill, and Chris, and Tom.
Tom.
He was a big one.
Yeah, Tom was big.
Yeah.
He lived to damn near. He was playing cards over there in Janesville when he was crowding 100.
Yeah, and he wouldn't come to say hello to my sister till he got through with a card game, even if she come from California to play. He was pretty independent. Well, this has been wonderful, Terrence, and I trust that you say you were, I'm still got to go back to your age. You were born in
89,
and that's 11 and 88, 11 and 78. You're 89 years old.
I will be this fall.
Well, that's wonderful.
I'm 88 now.
And in good health. Well, thank you so kindly, and this will go into the museum.
And the first butter makers up here was the Middle Boys.
I used to go call on this creamery when Kaufman, was it?
Yeah, George.
George.
Yeah.
So that's, well,
I trust 20 years from now or 30 your grandchildren come in and ask to hear their granddad's voice. Thank you very much, Terrence.
Well, thank you.